You're being seated. I invite you to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5, Matthew the 5th chapter. Our Lord has been teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. We have looked at some of His teaching, all the Beatitudes, and we have looked also at what the Lord said in verse 17. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the prophets, the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Our Lord went on to say in verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Here is a premise that our Lord starts to expound on. And what He's saying, He is basically confronting the scribes and the Pharisees in their teaching. The scribes are the ones who were copyists. They copied the law and they made copies and made copies. And the Pharisees and scribes, you put them together, they were the ones who were basically the ones who were experts in the law of Moses. The problem is they twisted the scripture and they limited the word of God. They were legalist, and they made the word of God, narrowed it down to what they wanted it to say, so they could fulfill the law in the flesh. But the problem with that is they excluded the spirit of the law. The law of God covers a lot more than just the letter of the law. And so that's what Jesus starts showing forth in six different examples, and we have covered three of those already. The first one, He talked about anger. And He equated that if you have anger in your heart, you've committed murder already. In other words, the Lord looks at the heart, not just your outward actions, but He looks at the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The second illustration He used was on adultery. And He basically said, if you have an adult or lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. You see, the heart is the heart of the problem. And God knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He then tackled the issue of divorce and adultery. And He expounded on that. But what we're looking at this morning is the fourth illustration. And He deals with forswearing and the taking of oaths. Now, as our Lord takes on this particular topic, He's got a purpose in doing it. And it's not just to expose the false teaching of the scribes and Pharisees, because the Word of God, in taking of oaths and forswearing, it's even relevant in our day and time. You don't have to look too far to see truth is scarce in our day and time. All you have to do is turn on a TV, you can see a bunch of lies. This is an important matter our Lord takes up as we look at today. The news media, many of you think, just like I do, who can trust the news media? Which news source is reliable news source? When they deceive and they are caught in their deception, sometimes they will issue a retraction and sometimes they don't. They just keep on going. The news has become the snooze, which I don't like to watch much. If you go to social media, You'll find a lot of information and a lot of misinformation, and sometimes it's so scrambled up you cannot separate what's right and wrong in social media. I do believe social media can be good, but like anything that's good, it can be turned and used for evil. I do believe that the main cause of the uprising of transgenderism is because of social media and TikTok in particular. In talking to a therapist, one person had told me that once one person gets on TikTok and they label themselves as a particular label, a pronoun, what happens, that kind of catches fire and other people mimic that and they have that pronoun now too. They're constantly coming up with new pronouns. If you are a counselor or a therapist, it's hard to keep up with all that because it's constantly changing. That could be somebody on the other side of the world coming up with a pronoun that nobody's ever even heard of, and all of a sudden you've got hundreds and hundreds of people are identifying with this particular pronoun. You see the confusion and the lies. We could go into AI, artificial intelligence. Remember, it is artificial. But you know what? They can start making things that look very real. And it can trick the best of us. We can go even further and look at our politicians. I hate to tell you this, but politicians can lie. You can't lie to them or you'll be charged with a crime, unless you're a Democrat. I didn't say that. But they can lie to one another. This is hard to comprehend. In schools and higher education, they are teaching alternate lifestyles as an accepted norm. DEI, LGBT, trans movement. You see, lies are abounding in our society. There are those who have been caught in perjury in Congress and courts, and they overlook it. This hits right down to the pew, right where we are. It's almost like when people make marriage vows, they unavow their vows about as much as they make the vows, if you know what I'm talking about. In other words, is there anything sacred anymore in truth? Our society embellishes lies. I'd like for us to look this morning in the Word of God in verse 33. As Jesus takes up this particular topic and he says again, "You have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear yourself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oaths." Here's what's being taught. Now, this which is being taught, you cannot find this verbatim in one passage of Scripture. It is a combination of teachings combined together. I'd like for you to look. We'll just pause here for a moment. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and down in verse 13. I want you to notice, first off, that the taking of vows was encouraged in the Old Testament. It says in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy in verse 13, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name." So you see, that's encouraging, taking a vow. Notice in chapter 10 and down in verse 20. Chapter 10 and verse 20, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. You see, what is taught in the Old Testament, the principle is to use the name of God and to swear by the name of God. But what is discouraged is when you make a vow and you don't keep that vow. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and down in verse 21. Deuteronomy 23 and down in verse 21. When you shall vow a vow unto the Lord your God, you shall not slack to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be sin in you. Notice once again over in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. In Leviticus 19, and down in verse 12. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. In other words, it is sin when to make a vow before God and not keep your vow. Now, the reason Jesus brings this up in his teaching in verse 33, he says, "Thou shalt not forswear yourself, but you shall perform unto the Lord your oaths." This is what they're teaching. Notice the combination of the teaching. He says, "But I say unto you," when Jesus says, "I say unto you," he is divine authority. He has the authority of God because he is God of very God. So therefore, when he says, "I say unto you," he is saying the word of God. What does Jesus teach us here? He says, "Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil." The reason Jesus uses this as an example is because by the time when he was here upon this earth, the Jews had made vows and they trivialized it. In other words, in their everyday language, they would always be making a vow. Not just in important matters, but in just very minor matters. Everything had become a vow. "Well, I promise you by the hair on my head." I want you to notice an example of this over in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus confronts this once again, and down in verse 22, Matthew 23 and down in verse 22, and down in verse 20, "Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar swears by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple swears by it and by him that dwells therein. And he that shall swear by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him that sits thereon." Notice what Jesus is saying here. They're swearing by the gift of an altar. They're swearing by the altar. They're swearing by heaven. They're swearing by God, the throne of God. You see, what they're doing is they're trivializing vows. In other words, certain things you swear by, it was binding, but certain things you swear by was not binding. If I swear by the hair on my head, that's not a binding vow, so that means I can lie, and it's not really a lie. But if I swear by the throne of God, well, then that's a binding one. And you see where they're doing. They're twisting the law and trivializing vows. It's kind of like this. Make sure y'all see me good. If I told you that I'm going to California tomorrow, you know what? you might believe me, but if I were to turn around and tell you, oh, I had my fingers crossed, it really didn't count. You remember playing that as a kid? You cross your fingers so it don't really count as a lie. Let me tell you something, it don't matter if your fingers are crossed or not. I don't care if your legs is crossed, your eyeballs is crossed, everything else is crossed. If a lie is a lie, it's still a lie no matter what you do. And here's how they were trivializing things concerning vows. They were making vows and they were making it small things in their everyday conversation. So therefore they could lie about it and they justified themselves. Boy, do we not do the same sometime? Do we embellish stories, you know, like you caught a fish that was about that long, Brother Carl? Do we not pervert the truth just a little bit? Have we ever told a little white lie? Let me tell you something, a little white lie is like a big lie. A lie is a lie is a lie is what I'm saying. And that's what Jesus is attacking here as they are trying to trivialize their vows. Notice his teaching in verse 34. Verse 34 says, "But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." What Jesus is saying here, don't swear at all, is what he says in the latter part of verse 34. All the way through verse 36, he kind of expounds that. Don't swear at all by heaven, or by God's throne, or by earth, or by his footstool, by Jerusalem, by the city of the great king, by the hair on your head. Notice what Jesus is saying here. Do not make vows in reference to people and things. That's what he does. He lists things here in people. Don't make vows. I've never heard anybody say, "I swear by the hair on my head." That's a little bit unusual. If a bald person says that, I guess you realize that's a vow they can break. Jesus is basically saying, don't swear at all, because he says in verse 37, as he concludes that, let your communication be yes, yes, or no, no. For whatsoever is more than this comes of evil. In other words, true righteousness. A child of God does not need oaths. In your everyday language, you don't have to say, "I promise on my mother's grave," or "I promise by the hair on my head," or "I promise by the footstool of God." I promise by... You don't have to say that in everyday language. You, as God's children, need to be known, and I need to be known by the truth that I speak and by the life that I live. We're talking about character here and how it affects your everyday life. Your life should be lived in truth. Don't try to fudge and twist the truth. Always speak the truth. And you know what? You'll have good character and you don't have to say a vow. Now, this leads us to a little further question. Is it wrong or sinful to take an oath or vow? I can't even remember the year. I remember the one who started the movement of the Quakers. His name was George Fox. And they brought him to court one day and they wanted him to swear on a Bible. Well, he would not do that. He just was defiant against it because the Lord says, don't take any vows. Not for swear. Swear not at all. So he didn't do it. And it's because of that today we don't swear on the Bible as far as in a court of law or whatever. But what Jesus is talking about here, I don't think is talking about all vows are eliminated. In other words, don't go the George Fox Quaker way. Jesus was talking about how they were flippant in their everyday speech, making a vow over everything. Or have you ever said something to somebody and then followed it up by saying, "Oh, I'm just kidding"? You know what? Don't do that. Don't lie and then turn around and just say, "I'm just kidding." That's misleading. That reflects upon your character overall. Let me show you how our Lord was confronted with a vow. Look over in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26 and down in verse 63, Jesus is before Caiaphas. Verse 63, verse 62, the high priest arose, said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against you?" But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you be the Christ, the Son of God." Now notice he's saying here he's bringing in God as a witness in a vow. What does Jesus do? Look in verse 64. Jesus said unto him, "You have said..." He's saying, yes. Now, he didn't rebuke him because of the vow. Jesus responded. And he says, "Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest rent his clothes. And because of that, you see, Jesus acknowledged the vow. The Apostle Paul oftentimes would use a vow. You remember he shaved his head one time with a vow. Over in Romans chapter 9 in verse 1, he said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not." And he says, "My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." He's bearing witness by the Holy Spirit. Notice another one where God himself makes a vow. In Hebrews chapter 6 and down in verse 16, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before him." God himself made an oath. So making a vow is not going against our Lord's teaching. To take an oath is allowed, but it's not encouraged. Don't do it flippantly. It is not sin to take a vow. If you're married, you took a vow. Am I right? It should not be an everyday thing, is what our Lord is saying in our everyday conversation. But we are living in a culture. We are living in a culture that's full of lies and deception. Let me expound something I said a minute ago concerning Democrats of how they lie. Let me tell you, Republicans lie too. I'm not biased. They're both guilty. We are living in a culture of lies, and you know who the father of all lies is. It was just this past week, I believe it was, a politician said his uncle was eaten by cannibals. And they called him out on it, and it was a lie. And then everybody went scampering to try to cover for him and to deceive and mislead everybody. Anybody with common sense can see the lies that are being told in our day and time. People blame shift. That goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Some have been doing it all their lives. This morning I say to you, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Whatsoever is more of that comes of evil. In other words, if you say yes, let it be yes. If you say no, let it be no. The world is in need of the truth. Your co-workers are in need of the truth. Our children need to hear truth. Let me tell you, your life and your character goes a lot farther sometimes than just the words you say. People are watching your life. Are you walking in truth? I believe there are many people that are hungering for truth. And in their hunger for truth, they listen to a lot of lies. And they are easily deceived because of that. They're filling the void with lies and misinformation. When we speak the truth, we need to speak it in love. But let me tell you, truth cuts deep. In other words, some people are not going to like you for speaking the truth. Truth divides. The Word of God says men love darkness rather than light. Therefore, when the light shines and people love darkness, they run. But hear what the Word of God says. We must give people truth. We must live truth. Our characters must line up with truthfulness. People are watching how you're living. There are no little white lies. Look in Matthew chapter 12. And down in verse 34. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can you be in evil? Speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Then Jesus said this, but I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. It's a serious matter to make a vow unto the Lord. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have made a vow unto the Lord that He is Lord. Now let me tell you something that's serious. It's not something to be taken flippantly. Therefore, if you have committed your life to the Lord, you need to fulfill your vow to the Lord. You need to live unto His glory. That should be your heart's desire if you've trusted the Lord. Let me ask you very simply this morning, are you feeling fulfilling? Are you in your life fulfilling your vow unto the Lord that you are His child? That you love His commandments, that you seek His will, that you seek to magnify His name, glorify Him. Is your life surrendered to Him? Do you need to recommit your vows? There are times people will renew their vows in marriage. We've done that in church. I told Lydia we didn't need to do that. I vowed it once. I don't need to redo it because I didn't break it. And I don't need to go back and do it again. Now, if some people want to do it, that's fine. If you want to do it, you do it. I ain't got no problem with that. Because the Word of God says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you made a vow unto your spouse, you keep your vow. If you made a vow unto the Lord, you better watch it. You better keep that vow. Have you surrendered your life to Him? It's an important teaching from the Word of God. As we bring this message to a close, we are challenged in this life to speak truth. And let me tell you something. People are going to hate you because you speak truth. But God ain't made us to be just walking through life and everybody loving us. I'm not saying you are a martyr and you need to go speak the truth in hate. Don't go bashing somebody with your Bible. We need to share the Word of God out of a heart of love toward people. There are so many people misled. And there are so many Christians that are silent. If you don't tell them, who will? Oh, I'll just pray for them. Praying's good. But God's called us to be witnesses. You have the truth. And what are you doing with it? May God be merciful unto us. We're going to give a hymn of invitation. If there are any this morning need to make things right with God, let me tell you, death is no respecter of persons. Sister Marty was 89. Travis was 31. I've had to do funerals of little children, infants. Death is no respecter of person. When Travis laid his head down night before last, he probably didn't even think he would not get back up. But he did not get back up. Same way with you and I. We don't know when God's going to call us out of this world. You don't know when your last heartbeat will be. It's appointed that a man wants to die and then the judgment. Are you ready to meet your master? Stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I come to you. My heart is heavy. You know where I am in life. You know the innermost thoughts, the struggles, the heartaches, the strains, the strivings, the lack of love for you. Lord, we ask that you work so powerfully in our hearts that they would not be divided, but that we might have a singleness of heart in glorifying your name. Lord, we pray that you would work by your Spirit in each and every heart and life in here. Oh, may souls be made right with you today. We thank you for how you work. And even when we don't understand and our hearts grieve, we give you thanks for your faithfulness. We long for the day when we will be with you, where there will be no more sin and sorrow, no more lies, no more pain, but perfect praise. Work in us to your honor and to your glory, for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing "Take My Life and Let It Be." Brother Josh is up front. If any have issues and things they need to make right with the Lord, we pray you respond appropriately. Let us sing.